weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
The chair of the Cambridgeshire and Peterborough Clinical Commissioning Group says the suspension of IVF fertility treatment on the NHS was a difficult decision for the governing body to make. Dr. Gary Howsam said the CCG has finite resources and has to save £46.5 million in this financial year alone. Stephen Harbottle is a consultant embryologist at Cambridge IVF, and I spoke to him a little earlier. A lot of people are going to be concerned about this news, and I'm wondering what kind of reassurances you can give them.
Well, we're quite distressed with the outcome of this announcement, of course, and we want to reassure the public that we are still here for them and we are still intending to be here for them for the long term. The only difference between the care pathway that they had and the care pathway that we have now is that unfortunately people will have to pay for their own care.
And if somebody is already underway, in the system, if you like, for want of a better description, presumably they'll be fine. They're not suddenly going to be confronted with a bill or anything. It's for new people entering at some point down the road.
Our understanding is that the effect of this will be with immediate effect, and it will depend on where you are in the care pathway as to whether or not you have to pay. Our judgment and our interpretation of that is if you have been referred to an IVF clinic already, i.e. you've chosen a clinic and you're entering into treatment with that clinic, then the NHS will still pay for your care. If you're further back in the referral process than that, then our understanding is unfortunately that you will have to pay for your own care.
This is going to be very painful for a lot of people because, as we know, not everybody can have children, and if you're getting so close to it and then all of a sudden, through reasons out of your control at least, to have it taken away, it's almost, I don't know, mental anguish and other sort of things can come out of this as well, besides just the inability to get the free treatment.
It's a terrible situation that we find ourselves in. And we sympathise with the CCG because they have not made this decision lightly. They too have found themselves in an impossible situation. But for people who were expecting to have NHS-funded care, who've now found out that that care won't be available, I can understand that this will be completely devastating. And what we have to consider in all of this is, let's not forget that infertility is a disease, just like cancer, just like diabetes. And until today, it's a disease that the NHS have been willing to fund treatment for. And we cannot underestimate the effect that this will have on the public, those members of our communities who may be facing childlessness now when before there was hope, because of course not everyone will be able to afford to fund their own care. This can lead to mental issues, anxiety, depression. It can lead to relationships breaking down, and it can also lead to social isolation. And of course it's the NHS that will then pick up the cost of these factors further down the line.
So in a way it could be described as a false economy if one budget gets removed and all of a sudden there's pressure on another budget for other medical services.
I think there's a very real threat that that could happen, because another element of this that we need to consider is that IVF treatment is not cheap. In the UK, an IVF treatment cycle will cost you in excess of £4,000. But there are clinics elsewhere in the world where IVF treatment is much cheaper. And there's a risk that people might see cheaper prices overseas and go abroad for their care.
So in the same way that somebody hops off to Hungary, say, to get their teeth done,
the same sort of
thing might emerge as far as IVF is concerned.
I believe it could. There is something already, what we call fertility tourism, where people go abroad for treatment and then return hopefully pregnant. But the risk of doing that, and this is what the public need to consider very carefully, is that the regulations overseas are not as tight as the regulations in the UK. In the UK, we are limited in the number of embryos that we can transfer to prevent what we call high-order pregnancies, twins, triplets, and beyond that. And these are the pregnancies that are very risky, both for the parent and for the children. And these are the pregnancies that often end up with very poorly babies in neonatal intensive care units because they've been born early and they were part of a triplet or higher order pregnancy. And the cost of running those bays, those neonatal bays is astronomical. So it could well turn out that the cost to the NHS of withdrawing this contract could end up more than keeping the contract in place itself.
In the grand scheme of things, I suppose IVF hasn't been with us for that long. And along, the, I don't know, the last three, 4 decades, we've seen various advances along the way. Do people often come back for further cycles after they've had that initial cycle, which, as you say, could cost them £4,000?
It's very common for people to come back and have further treatment. The reality of IVF, despite all of our best intentions and all of the technology that we now have, is that for a vast majority of people, the chances of the treatment being successful is still less than 50%. So what tends to happen is people will not fall pregnant on the first cycle of treatment, but they may fall pregnant on the second or third cycle of treatment. And what we aim to do is to collect and grow as many embryos in the laboratory as we can, transfer the healthiest one or possibly two, and store the rest of them in what we call cryopreservation, so that they're frozen for future use. And if we look at the effect of that, if we have one egg collection followed by two or three embryo transfers using the frozen ones that we've stored, then most people will be in a position where they will fall pregnant. So what we try to recommend to people is look at the cumulative chances of success rather than just the success after one single treatment cycle. But in this new economy where the treatment isn't available on the NHS, people will have to self-fund. And the reality is a lot of people will need to self-fund more than one treatment cycle.
So you've kind of got to think about that, really, when you're making that financial decision.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we hear quite a bit about NHS privatisation, and quite often it's not really privatisation. It might be a private company carrying something out, but it's still that free at the point of delivery element is still in there for the patient. Do you think this is NHS privatisation?
Well, I think NHS privatisation in IVF has been around for a long time. You only need to look at the current East of England contract, that the vast majority of the providers who were contracted to deliver that care were private providers. And what that means is that that money that the commissioners are paying into the IVF economy, if you like, is not coming back into the NHS economy. It moves into the private sector where it becomes their profits. And what the public need to be aware of moving forward is that we are an NHS unit. We're part of Addenbrookes Hospital, the local community hospital, and we're offering a self-funded pathway. And what that means is that although patients will unfortunately have to pay for their own care, that money is recycled immediately back into the NHS economy to pay for resources within the hospital, the special care baby units, for example, rather than to a private company who then can do what they choose to with the profit that they make.
And I know you've got some clinics coming up over the next couple of weeks, which presumably, if somebody is unsure still about what they've heard during the news today, they can go to one of these clinics and yourself or maybe one of your colleagues can help answer that.
That's absolutely right. So every Tuesday for the rest of September, we're having a drop-in clinic between 6 o'clock in the evening and 8 o'clock in the evening, where myself and other members of the team will be available to talk to anyone who has concerns and to give them information. And on the 19th of September, we're hosting a session for general practitioners so that doctors can come and get the information that they need so that they can give that information on to their patients. But the main message we want to get across is that the NHS service is still here and we're still here to help the local community.
Okay, Stephen, thank you very much for speaking to Cambridge 105 this afternoon. That was Stephen Harbottle, the consultant embryologist at Cambridge IVF, of course part of the Cambridge University Hospitals and Addenbrookes. I spoke to him a little earlier on today. Cambridge 105 at 19 minutes before 6.